Last week in the sermon, we reflected on Jesus coming with the towel and basin to wash the feet of his disciples. And it was a meaningful and interesting reflection on the servant Lord expressing his love and care for those disciples. And it's quite a trajectory as we move from that warm and interesting passage to the one that we've just heard with its warnings about separation and trouble and difficulty in this life. And it tells us that there are perhaps some side effects to following Jesus that aren't always warmth and roses. It reminds me of one of those commercials that we hear on the television for some medication or prescription or other, and then they rattle off a whole list of side effects. And I just Googled, and some of the doctors and medics in the congregation will know all of this by heart already. But I Googled one, and of the two pages of side effects, here are some of them for this drug, that if you took it, you might experience bladder pain, fever or chills, blistering, peeling, or loosening of the skin, convulsions, difficulty speaking, dizziness, inability to move the arms, legs, or facial muscles, muscle spasm or jerking of all extremities, seeing, hearing, or feeling things that are not there, sudden loss of consciousness, uncontrolled vocal outbursts, wheezing. Doesn't it just make you want to run out and try that one? Whew. So the disciples, as they listen to their rabbi and leader, the one in whom they have put their trust, who they've been following now for several years, begins to tell them about some of the side effects of faith, of following Jesus, of being a faithful follower. And Jesus points to some hard realities, but also some wonderful promises. Jesus speaks of betrayal. We know now that he was referring to Judas when at that Last Supper he said, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Or speaking to Peter, who was professing his solid faith and intention to follow Jesus, he said, "Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Life is not without its moments of betrayal, of denial, of times when we feel betrayed or when we know we have betrayed another. There are those times when we might deny Jesus, either actively or passively. Perhaps it's because of our embarrassment in the context in which we find ourselves that we say, along with Peter, "No, I don't know him. I'm not one of those." Or perhaps it's by our silence, when we do have an opportunity to speak a word of truth about Jesus, and we shrink back and we hold our tongues. I've done that sitting beside someone on an airplane or in some other public context where I could have spoken up and said something to that person, and I've buried my nose in my own book and held my tongue. There are those times when we betray another's trust, someone else. Someone's shared a confidence with us, and we share that with another inappropriately. Or when someone has shared their life and trust with us, and there's an infidelity that betrays that trust. There are those times when we might betray our own selves and our values, where we've chosen to live one way and suddenly we find ourselves tempted or led or impulsively following another path. And so we betray our own values and our own selves. Or we might feel betrayed by someone else in whom we have put our trust. We might feel betrayed by life. Just feels too hard, too confusing, too frustrating. Our bodies no longer respond with the same strength or energy or coordination. we feel betrayed by the hard lot that life has brought us. Or perhaps we are feeling sometimes betrayed or abandoned by God, as something or someone is taken from us, or life itself is threatened. My God, why have you forsaken me? Were the words of Jesus as he struggled with that sense of abandonment. And perhaps that's been your experience from time to time in life. Where is God in it all? Jesus knows betrayal and denial and its costs, and he doesn't promise anything radically different for us because he knows that you and I are going to face those times when we feel like we have been betrayed, let down, or when we have let someone else down and are feeling the burden of the guilt and the pain of all of that. Our world is not a trouble-free zone. One of the side effects of faith may be betrayal. Jesus speaks of separation. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. And we heard those words just read, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. There are the disciples, standing in their little huddle, scratching their heads and looking at each other and saying, what in the world is he talking about? We'll see him, we won't see him. What's going on here? What's this little speech all about? And Jesus, perceiving that they were confused about what he was saying, decides that they need a little bit more explanation, and so he gives it to them. And he says that he is going to leave them. And they are confused and saddened by that. It's hard when someone who has been your mentor or your leader or someone dear to you or a parent or someone who you care about deeply and who you respect highly says they are going to depart. They're going to leave. They're going to head off somewhere else. That causes us pain. And so those disciples may have felt abandoned by Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, Joyce and our little 11-month-old granddaughter were spending some time together while her mom had gone off to some appointment. And this little 11-year-old paused and waved her little hand bye-bye and said, Mama, bye-bye. She was recognizing that there was a separation there. And we see it in little ones. As a parent or loved one that they know well walks out of the room or out the door of the house, they sometimes set up a squawk because they express that pain of separation immediately. And we know the pain of separation, of missing those who are our loved ones, those who are just distant from us by the kilometers that separate us in our country, or those who are distant from us because they have gone home to be with God. And we miss them. There is a pain to separation. Sometimes we feel distant and separated from Jesus because we haven't been focused on that relationship. And it causes us distress and perhaps pain. Jesus speaks of trouble. He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. One side effect of faith is that there will be opposition from those who oppose Jesus. And we will experience that. We will run into people who tar us with the same brush, who, because they have whatever their motivations or feelings are, push us away because we are Christ followers. Does it sometimes feel that we are discriminated against because we follow Jesus? I received just this week a note from one of the leaders of our sisters and brothers in the church in Nigeria, talking about the suffering that Christians there are going through. Their places of worship and houses are being burned. They're being violated. They're being killed, all because they name the name of Jesus. A few years ago, when we lived in Hamilton, the young Christian students in the high school were told that they couldn't carry on their Christian club in the school the same time prayer rooms were provided for other religious groups. Sometimes, because we are Christian, it feels like we're being discriminated against. Jesus says, in this life, because we follow Christ, we will find trouble. Is that what we signed on for? Does it need to be so hard? Jesus doesn't sugarcoat the life of faith at all. Very truly I tell you, he says, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve. Our God is an awkward God, we heard last week. And as we stood barefooted with the awkward Jesus, at least we were enjoying the intimacy of spending time with him and being cared for. And here we are in this Lenten season, when everything seems to be going from bad to worse, as we listen and do our best to be good followers. Is this where you find yourself? Couldn't we just have a break, please? Pretty depressing sermon so far. Where's Ryan when you need him? But Jesus points to some other side effects of faith that are a bit more encouraging. These are probably more the main effects of faith than the side effects, but we're just going to lump them all together and talk about them. Jesus begins with the analogy of childbirth. He recognizes that it's a very painful time birthing a child. But when that baby is born, the mother forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Along out of those painful times of life, we can experience joy and happiness. Jesus recognizes the reality that not all of life will be trouble-free, but there are resources available to us and perspectives that enable us to live well as we navigate the mess of this world. Jesus speaks of joy. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy, he says. He promises the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will come and live among us and live in us as we receive God's truth in our lives. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. I don't know if you've read that little book by C.S. Lewis, Surprised by Joy. Lewis is one of the great apologists and explainers of Christian faith. And in his own trajectory, he, in this book, describes his move from atheism to theism and from theism to Christianity. And all along the way, he describes the signposts of joy that are the result of finding the truth of Jesus Christ in his own life. And he says that as he searched in his own experience and through all of the pathways that were open to him, he found great joy as he found his life in Jesus. Joy comes when we discover and follow God, and we're able to experience joy even in the middle of our troubles. I remember being at the funeral of Joyce's mom a number of years ago here in Edmonton. And she was a dear saint and one who we all loved dearly. And in that service, while we shed those human tears of sadness because we were separated and because we'd lost her, there was also, we sang the hymns of faith with a deep sense of joy because we knew that she had been received by a Heavenly Father into a new heavenly home, And there was an eternal dimension that came to us as we sat in the pews of that church and sang those hymns. And I remember reflecting on the fact that even in the middle of my sadness at that moment, I was experiencing a far deeper sense of certainty and assurance and joy. And that's the kind of joy that Jesus is speaking about here. That joy and that certainty that comes even when we're in the middle of a difficult patch of life. Jesus speaks of God's love. As the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. So as we put our faith in Jesus, we experience God's love in our lives as well. Jesus says, "My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, so that you also may be where I am. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Where do you experience God's love? Do you experience it down deep at the depths of your being, knowing that God will hold on to you always and that you never need to doubt that God loves you? Do you experience God's love as you're just wandering through God's creation and experiencing the wonders of a sunrise or a sunset or a snowfall that cleans and waters the earth? Do you experience God's love as someone else offers God's kindness to you through their actions, through their acceptance? Do you share God's love as you express that kindness, that love, the love of God through you to all those around you? God's love. Jesus speaks of peace. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." There's a wonderful hymn that many of us will be familiar with. "It Is Well With My Soul," written by Horatio Spafford, who in 1871, in an economic downturn, lost all of his business holdings and was decimated, ruined him financially. He had been a very successful lawyer and invested well in Chicago. And then his wife and four daughters set off across on a trip from the United States back to England. And on the way, the family was on their ship crossing the Atlantic, and they collided with another sea vessel. And the four daughters were drowned. And his wife sent him a telegram that just said, "Saved alone." And so Spafford immediately got on another ship and began his journey to England in order to meet with and comfort his wife and grieve together the loss of their children. And along the way, when he came to that place in the ocean where that ship had gone down, he wrote this hymn. I'm just going to read the first verse. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. In the midst of life's deepest troubles, greatest challenges, God's peace is available to us, and our souls can be well because we are held in the peace of God." So we stand here with the disciples, considering what Jesus is saying to us. How will they respond? How will we respond? How will you respond? We could focus on all of the negative possibilities that might come from following Jesus, all of those side effects. And we could be in a position of fighting against all of that and saying, I reject all of that stuff because it's too much trouble. Or we could take the flight response and just say, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with it. Or we could freeze. We could just say, I don't know where to go. I'm just frozen here. Nothing's going to happen. Or with courage, we could focus on the main benefits and embrace the joy that comes from being a faithful follower of Jesus, letting life be guided by God's truth, being a fruitful branch attached to the vine as you live out God's potential for you. Recognize that the love of God goes to the core of your being and grounds you in God's acceptance, whatever circumstances life throws at you. Live in that peace that promises, that passes all understanding, remembering the promise of Jesus, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Join me in the first verse and chorus if you know it. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, yeah.